الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد, continue reading from where we left off. The author, he mentioned, رحمه الله تعالى, باب ذكر أخلاق من يقرأ على المقرئ. باب ذكر أخلاق من يقرأ على المقرئ. The chapter on the manners of the one who recites to the teacher. The chapter on the manners of the one who recites to the teacher, meaning the student of the Quran, meaning the manners, akhlaq, talib al-ilm, talib al-ilm, the manners of the student of knowledge, the one who is learning and studying the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have seen in many classes that have preceded the manners and etiquettes of the upright teachers, those who carry the Quran properly and teach it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, we have seen as well manners related to those who carry the Quran, yet they are insincere in that which they carry, and they are not truthful with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the knowledge that they bear. So both parties, they have traits and characteristics that they're known by. Those upright Muslims, carriers of the Quran, who are sincere in the knowledge that they bear and carry, specifically the knowledge of the Quran and teaching the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have traits that they're known by and characteristics that distinguish them. And likewise, those who carry knowledge and recite and teach the Quran, yet they are insincere as well, they have manners that they are known by and characteristics that distinguish them. The author, rahimahullah ta'ala, he clarified both of these individuals and their traits so that a believer would be able to identify those who are sincere and those who are insincere from those who carry the Quran. And likewise, so a believer will be able to check in their own soul and rectify their selves and hope to follow the way of those who are truthful and sincere and to avoid having any of the traits or characteristics of those who are insincere. So to identify these affairs and these people from their characteristics that distinguish them is from the most beneficial affairs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his book many times, he will clarify the traits and characteristics of the people, those who are upright and righteous and those who are wicked and evil. And likewise in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, traits and characteristics and manners are mentioned so often in the book of Allah and in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is much more beneficial than identifying individuals themselves as being righteous or being wicked and foul. Although likewise we see that sometimes there are individuals identified and praised individually in the book or in the sunnah. And likewise, there are others who are censored and blamed individually, meaning they're mentioned by name. But these are few. Any few people have been mentioned by name that they're from the people of paradise. And few people have been mentioned by name that they're from the people of the hellfire. Although many traits and characteristics of the people of paradise have come in the book and the sunnah, and likewise, those of the people of the fire, as well as those who have traits and characteristics of hypocrisy. So to identify these affairs, identifying the traits and characteristics and the attributes of the righteous in hopes to know them and to befriend them and to follow them and to be from them, and to identify the traits and characteristics of the wicked and evil with great desire to avoid them and stay away from them and that which they're tried with from foul and lowly conduct. Even if we ponder over the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how Allah, he begins in the Fatiha mentioning the traits of the people. There are those whom Allah, he has guided and favored them with knowledge and application of that knowledge. And there are those who have earned the anger of Allah. And there are those who have been blessed with knowledge, yet they did not uphold the rights of that. And others, they had no knowledge and they sought to work and draw near to Allah upon ignorance. These are clarified in general in the Fatiha. And then after that in Surah Al-Baqarah, in the very beginning, Allah Azza wa Jal, he mentioned in great detail the attributes of the righteous, and then the attributes and characteristics of the disbelievers, and then many attributes after that of the hypocrites. This is from the proper and sound way in learning and being steadfast upon the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, to learn the attributes of the people, to learn the characteristics of the people, to learn the traits of the people, because it's in this manner that the people, they are distinguished. لا يستوي أصحاب النار وأصحاب الجنة أصحاب الجنة هم الفائزون. The people of the hellfire and the people of the paradise, they're not equal. The people of paradise, they are the successful. So they're not equal in the hereafter, no doubt, and nor are they equal in this life. And that which distinguishes them in this life is their manners and conduct and their characteristics. So here, the author now is discussing the student of knowledge, the student of the Qur'an, the one who is studying the book of Allah specifically. How he should handle himself whenever he is with his teacher who is teaching him the Qur'an. Allah knows best what is intended here from the teacher of the Qur'an. It's the first category, those who are truthful in that. Because if a person had seen those characteristics and traits of the one who carries the Qur'an, yet he is insincere, then it's required for him to avoid that person and to leave that person. So the teacher here that's being referred to, ذِكْرُ أَخْلَاقِ مَنْ يَقْرَأُ عَلَى الْمُقْرِئِ, the manners of the one who recites to the teacher, and the teacher who has those noble traits and qualities that distinguish him, and he's known by, and is hoped that he is from the truthful, from those who carry the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for those teachers that have contrary to that, then a person, he would avoid them and leave them. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, the people of fitna and trials. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So the author, he says, رَحِيمُهُ اللَّهِ بَابُ ذِكْرِ أَخْلَاقِ مَنْ يَقْرَأُ عَلَى الْمُقْرِعِ, the chapter on the manners of the one who recites to the teacher, أي طالب العلم. قَالَ مُحَمَّدْ إِبْنَ الْحُسَيْنِ, Muhammad ibn al-Husayn, may Allah have mercy on him, he said, مَنْ كَانَ يَقْرَأُ عَلَى غَيْرِهِ وَيَتَلَقَّنُ فَيَنْبَغِي لَهُ أَنْ يُحْسِنَ الْأَدَبَ فِي جُلُوسِهِ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ وَيَتَوَاضَعَ فِي جُلُوسِهِ وَيَكُونُ مُقْبِلًا عَلَيْهِ فَإِنْ ضَجِرَ عَلَيْهِ احْتَمَلَ وَإِنْ زَبَرَهُ احْتَمَلَ وَرَفَقَ بِهِ وَاعْتَقَدَ لَهُ الْهَيْبَةَ وَالِاسْتِحْيَاءَ مِنْهُ. He mentioned, rahimahullah, that whoever recites to another person and receives instruction should observe proper etiquette while sitting before him. Whoever recites to another person, and he reciting to a teacher, and he receives instruction, meaning from his teacher, he should observe proper etiquette while sitting before him. He should be humble in his sitting posture and attentive toward his teacher. If the teacher becomes irritated with him, he should bear it patiently. If he reprimands him, he should still be gentle with him and courteous, maintaining respect and reverence, and continuing to feel shy before his teacher. From the great evidences that have come with the clarification of how the student of knowledge should sit in front of his teacher is the narration which the people of knowledge, they know as Hadith Jibril alayhi salam. إِذْ جَاءَ إِلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَأَسْنَدَ رُكْبَتَيْهِ إِلَى رُكْبَتَيْهِ فَوَضَعَ كَفَيْهِ عَلَى فَخِذَيْهِ, that the hadith of Jibreel, that he came حَتَّى أَسْنَدَ رُكْبَتَيْهِ عَلَى رُكْبَتَيْهِ, and until Jibreel came very close to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and sat down directly in front of him, مُتَرَبِّعًا, yani with the legs crossed, with the legs folded and crossed. تَرَبُّع is whenever someone will sit on their bottom with their legs crossed in front of them. And then he put his palms on his thighs, عليه السلام. But the point is now, فَأَسْنَدَ رُكْبَتَيْهِ إِلَى رُكْبَتَيْهِ, that he sat so close that his knees were touching the knees of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And then he sat up straight with his hands on his lap, عليه الصلاة والسلام. And the narration is well known. And in the end of the narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Innahu Jibril atakum yu'allimukum dinakum," that indeed this was Jibril, he came to teach you your religion. So this is a great narration and so many benefits from so many aspects with regards to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and from that the manners of the students of knowledge whenever they sit with the teacher. It's recommended for them to sit as close as possible, to be directing the teacher so that they can benefit, so that they can focus and they can benefit, and that they should sit humbly before the teacher in this manner, like this, mutarabbi'an. But the people of knowledge, they mention likewise, or muftarishan, or mutawarrikan. Yani muftarishan or mutawarrikan. Al-iftirash is the way that a person, he will sit whenever he's in the tashahud. Or al-tawarruk is whenever a person, he will sit if he's in the second tashahud. Yani whenever one will put his foot forward. and sit on his bottom, on his side. So all of this is allowed. All of this is allowed when sitting in front of the teacher, having manners in this way. And this is what the author he's referring to. He should sit and he should be humble in his sitting posture, and he should sit humbly and attentive toward his teacher. This is because he came to benefit, and the one who is arrogant or proud, he will not benefit. And likewise, the one who is not paying attention, he also will not benefit. It's been narrated from Mujahid, rahimahullah, that he mentioned ithnani, that there's two types of people. They will not learn, the mustakbir and the mustahi. The mustakbir and the mustahi, the one who is arrogant and the one who is shy. The one who is arrogant and the one who is shy. Some of the people of knowledge, they mention also wal ajul, and also the one who is hasty. These types of people, they will not learn. The one who is truthful and sincere, and the one who is humble, and he pays attention, and he's not hasty, and he follows the instruction of the teacher, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, then he will benefit. He says, رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, وَأُحِبُّ أَنْ يَتَلَقَّنَا مَا يَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُ يَضْبِطْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِنَفْسِهِ إِنْ كَانَ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُ لَا يَحْتَمِلُ فِي التَّلْقِينِ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ خَمْسٍ خَمْسٍ فَلَا يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَسْأَلَ الزِّيَادَةَ وإن كان يعلم أنه لا يحتمل أن يتلقن إلا ثلاث آيات لم يسأل أن يلقنه خمسة فإن لقنه الأستاذ الثلاثة لم يزده عليها وعلم هو من نفسه أنه يحتمل خمسا سأله أن يزيده على أرفق ما يكون فإن أبى لم يزده بالطلب والصبر على مراد الأستاذ منه فإنه إذا فعل ذلك كان هذا الفعل منه داعيا للزيادة له ممن يلقنه إن شاء الله. He said, Rahimahullah, I prefer that the student only ask to be taught what he knows he can retain. What he knows he can retain. And he knows himself best. The people of knowledge, they mention a great benefit, and they say, Rahimahullah abdan arafa qadra nafsihi. Arafa qadra nafsihi. Rahimahullah abdan arafa قَدْرَ نَفْسِهِ. May Allah have mercy on a person who knows his own level. So sometimes the students, they come with great zeal or diligence or ambition. And no doubt this is very beneficial to have ragba, to have great desire to learn. But if it's not checked with knowledge and understanding and experience, then it could lead a person to fall off of the path and to go astray and to not benefit in the manner that is required. So he's saying here that I prefer that the student only asks to be taught what he knows he can retain. He knows himself best. Someone should be truthful with himself and know what he can retain. And this is and what is intended, and Allah knows best what he can retain and what he can continue to maintain. And what he's able to actually memorize and what he's able to be consistent with. And we all know the narration which is mutafiqun alayhi from the hadith of Aisha. From the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ أَحَبَّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَدْوَامُهَا وَإِنْ قَالَ, that indeed the most beloved deeds to Allah are those that are consistent even if they're few. So this is with regards to the voluntary actions. So especially in seeking knowledge, learning the Quran. So a person, he can maybe, if he carried himself, he can memorize one whole page in a day. And he, for example, but he will forget by Maghrib time or by Asr time. He can memorize that after Fajr. But if he did not review it after Asr, he will not be able to recall but only a verse or two, or maybe half of the page, so on and so forth. And this is the way. And this is the way. So, but if he were to take on half of that, for example, half of a page, while he can carry himself to do a whole page, but he will not be able to maintain that or to retain that. Or even if he was able to retain that today, tomorrow, the next day, one page, and the next day, one page, and after the end of the week, he has 5-6 pages, now it's going to become heavy for him the next week. It's going to catch up with him, and he's not going to be able to continue. So the people of Nara, they say, قَلِيلٌ دَائِمْ خَيْرٌ مِنْ كَثِيرٍ مُنْقَطِعٍ. To do a little bit, but consecutively is better than doing a lot whenever it's cut off. So this is what he's advising, rahimahullah. I prefer that the student only asks to be taught what he knows he can retain. And what he knows he can retain in his memory, and also that he can maintain and be consistent with as he's seeking knowledge. And that he will be able to move fluently. So the student, his goal is to learn and to increase in knowledge. So this occurs by being diligent and being steady. So if he's each day increasing in knowledge, even if it's a little, even if it's only a small amount, but daily he's continuing, then the people of knowledge, they say that knowledge is like drops of water. Knowledge is like drops of water. Little by little, a person soon he will have a great flow. Soon he will have a great amount. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So little by little, he will continue to seek knowledge, and he will gain an understanding in this manner, drop by drop, step by step. Khutwa, 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 khutwa. So if he continues upon this way, then in the end he will have great benefit, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Especially if he learns himself and he learns the avenues of knowledge and the ways of learning and the likes like this, and has benefit from his teacher, then so long as he continues learning and gaining little by little, he's continuing on the path of seeking knowledge. But if he becomes stagnant, or if he falls behind, now he's been deterred on the path of knowledge. And from the ways that the devil would deter a student on the path of knowledge, will try to, in the beginning, carry him to do a whole lot more than he can bear. And then he will take that amount that he cannot bear and be consistent with, and that he cannot carry and continue on a daily basis for a long time, until it becomes too heavy for him and he falls off the path of knowledge. Until it becomes too heavy for him and he falls off the path of knowledge. He stops learning or seeking knowledge altogether, or he falls very diligent, very short. He falls very short in that affair. He falls very short in that affair. So this is something also that the teacher, he must realize. And a teacher who is sincere and he has experience and knowledge, he knows these affairs. So he will not give the student more than he can bear. And likewise, he will not give the student too little. Rather, his goal is to cultivate and raise the student and to help him along the path of seeking knowledge and to facilitate that and make it as easy as possible for him. So he's going to give him enough knowledge to keep him moving, to keep him moving. So long as the student continues down the path and he's moving little by little in this manner, then alhamdulillah, he's seeking knowledge properly. He's seeking knowledge properly. So this is what the author is referring to. He says, Rahimahullah, I prefer that the student only has to be taught what he knows he can retain. He knows himself best. If he knows he can only handle 5 verses at a time, he should not request more. If he can only take 3, he should not ask for 5. If the teacher gives him 3, even though he knows he can manage 5, he may politely ask for more. He may politely ask for more. If the teacher refuses, he should not persist and should remain patient with what the teacher has decided. By Allah's permission, such a manner will call the teacher to increase his instruction willingly. To increase his instruction willingly. Sometimes the student, he knows he can handle more, but the teacher has more experience. And maybe he will give him more if he feels that that's proper, or maybe he will not give him more if he feels that that's not proper, that could lead him to eventually falling off the path of seeking knowledge. So one of the greatest favors and blessings in life, one of the greatest favors and blessings in life is to be guided to an upright teacher. To be guided to have a noble and upright teacher who wants good for those who sit with him. Who wants good for those who sit with him, and he's known for knowledge and he's qualified in the knowledge that he's discussing and teaching. And his manners like that, and his manners likewise are of noble conduct. Any of the knowledge is seen in his conduct and in his daily manners. And the likes like this. So this is from the greatest blessings. The Salaf used to ask from their supplications. They used to ask in their supplications, Allahumma ruzuqani jalisan sarihan. Oh Allah, provide for me a righteous companion to sit with, meaning a righteous teacher to teach me. A righteous teacher to teach me. This has been narrated from Alqama, rahimahullah, and from many others, from the tabi'een and those after them. So to ask for a righteous teacher, a teacher who is upright, is from the good way, for oneself, for one's family, for one's children, and the likes like this. And that is from the greatest blessings, from the greatest blessings by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the teacher, he has experience, and he can direct the student in a manner proper. Many times the students, they have desire and ambition, and they have goals or aims that are not necessarily in their best interest. The student, in reality, he does not always know what's best for him. He does not always know what's best for him. Maybe he wants to strive real hard, or he has great desire and diligence to learn. But if that's not channeled properly with light and insight and experience and knowledge, then it could harm a person. His ragba and the likes and his fervent desire could harm him if it's not handled and taken care of properly. And this is from the benefit of the teacher, that he would direct him in this manner. At bare minimum, the student without a teacher will waste a lot of time. We'll wind up wasting a lot of time. Many times the student, for example, he will see some long text or some large work in poetry, and he will hear it and he will see it and he will think that this is so beautiful and so beneficial. And no doubt it's very beautiful and very beneficial, but this is not his level. This is not his level, and this is not where the people of knowledge suggest that a student begins. And although these great works and the likes like this, they are something to desire to learn, there's a pathway to reach them. And there is a proper methodology to get to that level. So before a person, he will start memorizing these long poems, 600 lines, 500 lines, even 100 lines, and the likes like this, 1,000 lines, the Alfiyah and this, and the Alfiyah and that, so on and so forth. There's many other texts that precede that, that come first, that take precedence, and that will be a foundation for his education and a base for his knowledge that all of the rest of the knowledge that he learns will go back to. For example, like Al-Usul al-Thalatha. Al-Usul al-Thalatha, a student, he will memorize this book. He'll memorize it from heart, and he will memorize it like he memorizes the Fatiha, and any in the same manner. And this work here has issues in the religion that are of utmost importance, foundations and fundamentals of the deen that the whole religion is based upon, and all of the affairs of the deen go back to, and they're coupled with evidence from the Qur'an and the Sunnah. And very few words from the Imam Sheikh Muhammad Ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah to clarify the topic. So if a person, he memorized this, and then he continued upon that way, memorizing the small batoon after that, like Al-Qawad al-Arba, and like Nawaqid al-Islam, and like the 40 hadith of An-Nawawi, and then eventually after that, Kitab al-Tawheed, so on and so forth, and then Al-Wasitiyah, and then after that, he's going to get to the level where maybe he'll start memorizing some of these longer texts and the works of poetry and the likes like this. But the one who is sincere, he will follow the steps of the people of knowledge, and he will follow their way. And from that is choosing that which takes precedence and showing preference to that. If a person, he started memorizing this long text, maybe he's going to memorize 100 lines of poetry, 200 lines of poetry, then maybe it's probably going to get hard for him. Even if we said that he memorized all of those lines, 600 lines, for example, 300 lines, for example, he memorized all of them, it's going to be so difficult, almost impossible for him to learn the benefits of that because he has not reached that level. To memorize is one thing, and to understand the benefit from what one memorizes is another. So the poetry form is not always easy to benefit from directly. And many times there are a lot of issues that are summarized there. And it requires for someone who is experienced and has knowledge and insight to clarify the intent from that and to mention evidences that support what is mentioned in the poetry, so on and so forth. There's a lot going on there. In contrast to, for example, the fundamental works like Usul al-Thalatha, or Kitab al-Tawheed, so on and so forth, or the 40 hadith, and the likes like that. Even before all of this, the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the student, many times, he has this desire to learn and little experience. If that is not checked, then he will, at bare minimum, he will waste a lot of time. Similarly, like in hadith, a person, he will not memorize Bukhari and Muslim. He'll not go to the Kutub al-Sitta first and foremost. He will not go to these long works and the likes like this, where he'll start with Umdat al-Ahkam. He'll memorize that, 500 and something hadith. If he does that, and all of them are in Bukhari and Muslim, and all of them are authentic, and the likes like this. So then he'll have a strong foundation in these hadith al-Ahkam. And then after that, he will do Bulugh Maram, which is around 1,300 hadith, for example, approximately. 1,300 hadith, and has additional narrations on top of that, which is in Bulugh Maram. From narrations outside of the Sahihain. So if a person, if he followed this methodology, memorizing these few narrations, in these works in this manner, then he has memorized from the beginning until the end, and from the beginning of the chapters of fiqh until the end of them. So now he has encompassed evidence from every aspect of the chapters of fiqh. If you talk about tahara, he has evidences memorized. If you talk about salah, he has evidences memorized. If you go all the way to the end, all the way to jinayat, all the way to legal punishment, so on and so on, to the end of the books of fiqh. So you're going to go through the ibadat, you're going to go through the transactions, you're going to go through the jinayat, you're going to go through all of these. He's going to be familiar with all of these chapters and narrations and evidence with regards to that. As for if he tried to pounce on Sahih Bukhari, for example, maybe he's going to memorize the first chapter, the second chapter, and after that, he's not going to finish. He's going to stuck in the middle somewhere. So there's a whole lot of evidences. There's a whole lot of chapters. There's a whole lot of issues. There's a whole lot of subjects and topics that he has neglected and that he did not memorize. Same thing with, for example, in the Arabic language. He wants to memorize Al-Alfiyah, Alfiyah Ibn Malik, which is no doubt a great poetry. But this is like the last thing. This is like from the last level, not the first level.
So maybe he's going to get involved in that in the beginning. He'll memorize 100 lines, 200 lines, 300 lines, and then he's going to give up. And the likes like this, or he's not going to be able to understand it and the likewise or explain it. But if he memorized something like Ajumiya first, now from the beginning to the end, now he has memorized the science of Nahu, the subjects and the topics and the issues discussed in Nahu in general, all of them at one time. And he's covered from the beginning to the ending of the topic of Nahu. So he's memorized and he's become familiar with every chapter from the chapters of Nahu in general. Now he has a good understanding of the issue of Nahu. Then if he studies that and learns that with an explanation, he moves on to the next book like Qatr Nada, so on and so forth, or Mutamima. So, and then after that, now he's ready to go to Al-Jurmiyyah and to add in addition all these extra issues and topics that are discussed in that work. So the point is, Barakallah fikum, that the teacher, he knows these affairs. He has experience with these affairs. He has experience with knowledge. He has experience with knowledge and with students of knowledge and with the path of knowledge. And he's aware of the methodology of the people of knowledge and seeking knowledge. So therefore, he can direct the student in a manner that's beneficial. So if a student is guided, like he's mentioning here, to sit with a person who's qualified, and what he sees from him is that he's qualified in the knowledge that he carries and is teaching, then he should take his advice. He should take his advice. And if his teacher tells him, no, you I'm going to give you 3 verses, you memorize 3 verses, just bring these 3 verses. And he said, I can do 5. He said, no. He says, no, just bring the 3. He says, okay. He would say, okay. The teacher knows best with this situation. From the evidences of this is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr, radiallahu anhuma. Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam heard about how he was standing in the prayer all night long, and he was fasting all day, every day, and he was neglecting the rights of his wife. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to him to advise him. And he told him to fast 3 days of every month. He said, I can do more. I can do more. All the way till they got him to fast every other day. He said, read the Quran, complete the Quran one time a month. He said, I can do more. All the way till they got him to 3 days at the most. And the likes like this. And then the end of his life, he wound up regretting. He said, if I had only taken the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the teacher, he has experience and he's looking down the road. He's looking down the road. And the aim again is to cultivate and to raise the student in a manner that he'll be able to continue. So if a person, he continues on the path of knowledge, inshallah, he's going to reach his destination. But if he takes on a large amount and he goes hard at the very beginning, then many times he's going to fall off and he's not going to be able to continue. And it's going to be a means for him to be deterred. So the devil, he would encourage him in this manner in order to lead him astray. But if he listens to his teacher and he follows the advice, then inshallah, and he brings his homework in the manner prescribed, this is going to be, like he's saying here, by Allah's permission, such a manner will call the teacher to increase his instruction willingly. And he's going to fill him out. He's going to see what he's able to do and what he's able to continue with. And if he sees that he's diligent, then he's going to increase him, because this is what the teacher's looking for him to fulfill his requirements in the class, and after that to help him and to aid him to continue in seeking knowledge. The author, he says, لَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ أَنْ يُضْجِرَ مَنْ يُلَقِّنَهُ فَيَزْهَدَ فِيهِ وَإِذَا لَقَّنَهُ شَكَرَ لَهُ ذَلِكَ وَدَعَ لَهُ وَعَظَّمَ قَدْرَهُ وَلَا يَجْفُو عَلَيْهِ إِنْ جَفَى عَلَيْهِ وَيُكْرِمُ مَنْ يُلَقِّنُهُ إِنْ هُوَ لَمْ يُكْرِمْ وَتَسْتَحِي مِنْهُ إِنْ كَانَ هُوَ لَا يَسْتَحِي مِنْكَ تُلْزِمُ أَنْتَ نَفْسَكَ وَاجِبَ حَقِّهِ عَلَيْكَ فَبِحَرِي أَنْ يَعْرِفَ حَقَّكَ. He says he should not cause the teacher discomfort or annoy him, which may lead to the teacher growing weary of him, and he turning away from him and not encouraged to teach him. When taught, he should thank the teacher and pray for him and respect his status. He should thank him. Jazakallahu khayra. Barakallahu fik. And the likes like this. And also from thanking the teacher, if a person he benefited from his teacher, he will tell him, Jazakallahu khayra. I benefited a lot. Alhamdulillah. I appreciate your efforts. May Allah accept from you. May Allah increase you in good. To inform him that he benefited, so on and so forth, and to make dua for him, and to supplicate for him, and to respect his status as a teacher. Even if the teacher is harsh with him, he should not respond with harshness. He should honor the one who he teaches, even if the teacher does not show him honor. And this goes back to the reality of the true people of the Quran. Their dealings are not with individuals, rather their dealings are with Allah Azza wa Jal. So they deal with the people according to that which is pleasing to Allah. So if the people give a person of the Quran their right, then the person of the Quran, he will recognize that and thank and praise Allah Azza wa Jal, and then likewise show gratitude and thanks to those people. And if someone from the people of the Quran were denied their right, this will not cause them to deny their right. Rather, they will give them their right accordingly, because they have iman and they have sincere faith and they have high hopes in the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they deal with the people according to that which is pleasing to Allah. And we've seen the advice that has preceded من عصى الله فيك فلا تعصي الله فيه فلا تعصي الله فيه بل تطيع الله فيه. That whoever disobeys Allah in your right, then you do not disobey Allah in his right, rather you obey Allah with regards to him. And this is because the dealings are with Allah. So if it appears that the teacher was harsh or did not give a person his right in a particular issue or the likes like this, then he will not respond with the same. Rather, he will honor him and respect him and give him his right regardless. And this is in general. This is how a believer, he lives his life, seeking the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, not moving based upon how the people deal with him, but based upon that which will bring him near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Based upon that which will bring him near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He should honor the one who teaches him, even if the teacher does not show him honor. He should be shy and respectful, even if the teacher is not. It is upon the student to fulfill the duties owed to his teacher. In doing so, the teacher will most likely come to recognize the student's right. And even if the teacher was falling off in a particular issue, then by the fact that the student responds with the noble manners, this is going to call the teacher to be shy and to remember. He says, لأن أهل القرآن أهل خير وتيقظ وأدب يعرفون الحق على أنفسهم فإن غافل عن واجب حقيقة فلا تغفل عن واجب حقه فإن الله عز وجل قد أمرك أن تعرف حق العالم وأمرك بطاعة العلماء وكذا أمر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is because the people of the Quran are people of virtue, attentiveness, and good manners. They recognize the rights of others over them. And maybe the teacher, he said something rude or came out of character for a moment or the likes like this. And if the student responds to him with courtesy and kindness and the likes like this, then this will many times cause him to feel shy and to return back to himself and to repent and to rectify those manners and that conduct. He says, but if a teacher falls short of fulfilling your right, do not fall short in fulfilling his. Allah the Almighty has commanded you to recognize the rights of scholars and to obey them. And so did the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He mentions the evidences to verify that which he's mentioning. He says, عن عبادة بن الصامت رضي الله عنه أنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ليس من أمتي من لم يجل كبيرنا ولا يرحم صغيرنا ويعرف بعلمائنا قال أحمد يعني يعرف حقهم. It's been narrated from Ubad ibn Samit رضي الله عنه. He said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, he is not from my ummah, the one who does not honor our elders, show mercy to our young, and recognize the rights of our scholars. And he says here, and recognize our scholars. Al Imam Ahmad, he said, yani, it means recognize their due right. Recognize their due right. وَعَنْ أَبِي سَلَمَةَ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ قَالَ لَوْ رَفَقْتُ بِبْنِ عَبَاسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَ لَأَصَبْتُ مِنْهُ عِلْمًا لَأَصَبْتُ مِنْهُ عِلْمًا. From Abu Salama, رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ, he said, had I been gentle and patient with Ibn Abbasin رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَ, I would have obtained much knowledge from him. I would have obtained much knowledge from him. Abu Salama ibn Abd al-Rahman. He's from the great scholars of the Tabi'een. And it's mentioned that he used to debate with some of his teachers. And he used to debate with them. And from them it was Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma. And then after that, later on, he regretted from then. There's some narrations that we take, inshallah, with regards to these affairs. The author, he says, عن مجاهد في قوله عز وجل, and it's been narrated from Mujahid in reference to the statement of Allah, the Most High, وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. Obey Allah and obey the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and those who are in authority among you. And those in authority among you. Mujahid, he said, rahimahullah, قَالَ الْفُقَهَاءُ وَالْعُلَمَاءُ. He said, they are the jurists and the scholars. They are the jurists and the scholars, any of those people of authority among you. So the people of authority, there are two categories. The people of authority, wulat al-umur, and they are the people of authority, any meaning the governmental authority, and likewise the people of authority referring to the religious authority. referring to the religious authority. The people of Nar, as they mentioned, and Allah knows best, what is apparent from this verse is what is intended, is the first category, first and foremost, is the governmental authority. Those who have authority and power of the government and the likes like this. But also along with that is the religious authority, and they are indeed included. And in reality, in a proper Islamic society, they go hand in hand. There is the governmental authority that is governed and directed by the religious authority. By the religious authority. So the religious authorities from the people of knowledge and the jurists, they would clarify the rulings and explain them, and they would direct the people of knowledge, and they would execute them and implement them in the society. And they would execute them and implement them in the society. So we have a number of narrations with regards to the topic now, and we read some of them. That which has come from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and from the Sahaba and the Tabi'een and the likes from the scholars of Hadith. And this is with regards to honoring the people of knowledge. And it's been collected by Abu Dawood from the Hadith of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam he said, إِنَّ مِنْ إِجْلَالِ اللَّهِ إِقْرَامَ ذِي الشَّيْبَةِ الْمُسْلِمِ وَحَامِلِ الْقُرْآنِ غَيْرِ الْغَالِ فِيهِ وَالْجَافِ عَنْهُ وَإِقْرَامْ ذِي السُّلْطَانِ الْمُقْسِدِ. That it's been narrated from Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu that he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, indeed, from honoring Allah, this is important, from honoring Allah is honoring the elderly Muslim, the carrier of the Quran, who neither exaggerates regarding it nor neglects it. He doesn't go to extremes like the Khawarij and those who misinterpret the Quran to follow their desires and whims, nor are they negligent with regards to it. This is the true Hamil al-Quran. And likewise, honoring the just ruler. Honoring the just ruler. So the point here is with regards to the person of the Quran, the carrier of the Quran, the person of knowledge. And that is that honoring him is from honoring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honoring the people of the Quran is from honoring Allah. Honoring the elderly Muslim and showing him respect is from honoring Allah and honoring the sacred rights of Allah. And likewise, honoring the just ruler is as well from honoring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something that is done as a deen. It's done for the sake of Allah. It's done for the sake of Allah, not for any worldly gain. Likewise, the narration that the author is mentioned from Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu anhu, we have another wording in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يُجِلَّ كَبِيرَنَا وَيَرْحَمْ صَغِيرَنَا وَيَعْرِفْ لِعَلِيمِنَا حَقَّ وَيَعْرِفْ لِعَلِيمِنَا حَقَّ. He's not from us. And he's not from us, meaning he's not upon our way properly. And he's not fulfilling the rights of the religion and the sunnah correctly, meaning his faith is deficient. He's not from us, the one who does not respect our elders, nor does he have mercy to our young, and he does not recognize the right of our scholars. And he does not recognize the right of our scholars. It's been narrated from Ibn Tawus, from his father, Tawus ibn Kaysan. Tawus ibn Kaysan is from the great scholars of Hadith from the Tabi'een. His son is narrating on his father, Tawus. He says, Minna sunnah, min as-sunnah an yuwaqqara arba'a. From the sunnah is to honor and show respect to four. From the sunnah is to honor and show respect to four. Al-alim, the scholar. Wa-dhu-shayba, and the elderly Muslim. Wa-sultan, and the government authority, the leader and the governor, the head of the government and the likes, or the governmental leaders. The governmental leaders, wal-walid, and the parent, meaning the father here specifically. And the parent, any of the father here specifically. So the point now, he says here, rahimahullah, these narrations, they clarify this. And these four here, they're mentioned in many texts that we're all aware of. But the fact that he's teaching his son this affair, this is the proper cultivation. And the fact that he said again, rahimahullah, min as-sunnah. Min as-sunnah. So this is similar to what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, inna min ijlal Allah. From honoring Allah, from revering and showing Allah great honor and respect, is honoring these people. From the sunnah, is honoring these people. So to honor these people, this is deen. To honor the people of knowledge, this is religion. To honor the elderly, this is deen. This is deen, this is religion. This is something that a believer will do it for the sake of Allah, not for the sake of the people. Likewise, honoring and respecting the authorities, as well as honoring one's parents. This is something that one, he would do for the sake of Allah. This is deen. This is a means to draw near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to seek His pleasure. To draw near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek His pleasure. So our religion, it teaches us to respect those who carry wisdom. Those who carry wisdom. And likewise, responsibility. Religious responsibility and governmental responsibility and the people of virtue. And likewise, honoring the scholars and the elders, the rulers and the parents is not just good manners, but rather it's a part of our religion. And it must be done sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by honoring these people whom Allah has ordered us to honor, then it's in reality honoring the values that they represent. And by honoring them, then one, he is in reality honoring the values and the religion and the deen that they represent and call to.
It's been narrated by Ash-Sha'bi, rahimahullah ta'ala. He's from the scholars of the Tabi'in likewise. He says, قَالَ رَكِبَ زَيْدٍ ibn ثَابِتْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ فَأَخَذَ ibn عَبَاسٍ بِرِكَابِهِ فَأَخَذَ ibn عَبَاسٍ بِرِكَابِهِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا فَقَالَ لَهُ لَا تَفْعَلْ يا ابن عم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال هكذا أمرنا أن نفعل بعلمائنا فقال زيد رضي الله عنه أريني يدك فأخرج يده فقبلها زيد وقال هكذا أمرنا أن نفعل بأهل بيت نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم. الشعبي, he narrated an event that he witnessed from the companions and how they would honor each other, especially the people of knowledge from them as well as the household of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, rahimahullah, Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu, once he mounted his riding animal. It's been mentioned likewise, this was at a funeral. He prayed the funeral prayer on his mother radiallahu anhuma, and then he mounted his riding animal. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he took hold of the stirrup for him, for him to put his feet into the stirrup. And Zayd said to him, and Ibn Abbas, he's bringing the stirrup for him to put his feet in, to get onto his animal and the likes like this. Zayd told him, don't do that. Don't do that, O cousin of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, addressing him in this manner. You're from the household of the family. You're from the household and the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't do that. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he replied, he said, this is how we were commanded to treat our scholars. This is how we're commanded to treat our scholars. And he recognizing the great status of Zayd radiallahu anhu and the fact that he's from the people of knowledge. So he's honoring him in this manner. So Zayd, he's telling him, don't do that. Yani, don't do that. Don't help me in this manner, like this. Yani, and then Ibn Abbas, he says, هَكَذَا أُمِرْنَا أَن نَفْعَلَ بِعُلَمَائِنَا. This is how we are commanded to treat our scholars. And then Zayd radiallahu anhu, he says, show me your hand. Let me see your hand. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu extended his hand and Zayd kissed it. And he said, and this is how we were commanded to treat the family of our Prophet. And this is how we're ordered to treat the family of our Prophet. So we see the mutual respect that the companions they had for each other in general, especially the people of knowledge from them, as well as the household of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise, we see the humbleness of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. No doubt, his lineage and his nearness to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is much higher and greater than that of Zayd. Zayd radiallahu anhu, he's from the Ansar. He's from the people of Al-Madinah radiallahu anhu. But we know his status and knowledge radiallahu anhu is of a high and lofty status and virtue with regards to knowledge, specifically knowledge of the Qur'an. In this manner, people are raised, not by their lineage. If a person he has along with knowledge of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a noble lineage or other virtues in society, then this is light upon light. But this is not the main issue that is considered. What is considered is the knowledge a person he carries and how he abides by that and upholds the rights of that. In this manner, a person he'll be raised in this life and in the hereafter. So true dignity lies in humility and humbleness and honoring the people of virtue and the people of knowledge. And this is no doubt the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For this reason, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he says, ذُلِّلْتُ طَالِبًا فَعُزِّزْتُ مَطْلُوبًا. He says that I humbled myself as a seeker. ذُلِّلْتُ طَالِبًا فَعُزِّزْتُ مَطْلُوبًا. He said, I humbled myself as a seeker and I was honored when I became sought after. And meaning as a student, I was humble, and I was humbled in seeking knowledge and not arrogant and proud. And whenever I obtained knowledge, then I was honored and became the one who was sought after. And it's also been narrated from Ibn Abbas and radiallahu anhu that after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told one of his friends from the Ansar. Of course, he was young at that time, or close to the age of puberty.
He said, let's go around to the companions of the Prophet and seek knowledge and learn from them. And his friend, he told him, what do the people have to do for you? They're going to be in need for you? We have plenty of the companions around. But he went upon that way himself, radiallahu anhu, and he mentioned that he used to go to one of the homes of the Ansar at the Dhuhr time in the midday, and he would wait there. He would lay on the ground, he would lay on the floor, and the wind would bring dust into his face. And he would take his garment as a pillow, waiting there for him to come out. And whenever he would come out, one of the companions would ask him, calling him by the same name, oh, cousin of the messenger, why didn't you knock on my door? Why didn't you seek permission? He said, no, it's my right that I will sit and wait for you until you come out peacefully, and I can ask you and learn from you. I mean, if he had knocked on the door, if he had let it be known that he was there, of course they would have honored him and they would have let him in because of his status and his nearness to the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he humbled himself and he waited for them to come out. And he waited for them to come out in this manner like this in order to benefit. So he wound up benefiting in a great manner by humbling himself. ذُلِّلْتُ طَارِبًا فَعُزِّزْتُ مَطْرُوبًا. And he humbled myself as a seeker of knowledge, and then I became honored whenever I was sought after. And likewise, Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhumah, he was asked how he obtained all of this knowledge, and all of the vast knowledge that he obtained, and it's known that he's considered حَبْرُ al-Ummah, and that he can't وَكَانَ بَحْرًا. He is the great scholar of this Ummah, and he was considered an ocean of knowledge. And he mentioned the way that he obtained that, radiallahu anhu, بِلِسَانٍ سَعُولٍ وَقَلْبٍ أَقُولٍ بِلِسَانٍ سَعُولٍ وَقَلْبٍ أَقُولٍ, by having a tongue that asks lots of questions, any beneficial questions, with a good intention, and seeking knowledge and asking in order to learn, with the intention to implement that knowledge and to benefit, and with a heart that ponders and reflects, and with a heart that's intelligent, pondering and reflecting. And this is a manner for a person to truly benefit. Ayyub al-Siqtiyani, rahimahullah ta'ala, he is also from the great scholars of the Atba' Tabi'een, from the later generations of the Tabi'een themselves. He says, كان رجل يجلس إلى الحسن البصري ثلاث سنين فلا يسأله عن شيء هيبة له. That a man, he would sit with al-Hasan al-Basri, from the scholars of the Tabi'een. He would sit with him for 3 years without asking him a single question out of great reverence for him. وقال عبد الرحمن بن حرملة الأسلمي ما كان إنسان يشتري أن يسأل سعيد بن مسيب عن شيء حتى يستأذنه كما يستأذن الأمير. عبد الرحمن بن حرملة الأسلمي rahimahullah, from the Tabi'in likewise, from the later generation. No one would dare to ask Sa'id ibn Musayyib, from the great scholars of Hadith, from the Tabi'in of Medina. He said, no one would dare to ask him a question without first seeking his permission, just like one would seek permission from the ruler. وَقَالَ مُغِيرَ بِنْ مِقْسَمْ الضَّبِّي rahimahullah, كُنَّا نَهَابُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ نَقَعِي كَمَا يُهَابُ الْأَمِيرُ. Mughira ibn Miqsam al-Dhabi, he said, we used to fear and honor and revere Ibrahim al-Naqai, rahimahullah, like we used to fear and revere the Muslim ruler. The Muslim ruler. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.